You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is a live broadcast, and I am going to start to teach you things that I have never taught you before. And in fact, when you would call and ask me, I would just refuse to give you the answers for good reason. For good reason. You see, most people are looking for some kind of a silver bullet. They're looking for a form to fill out that will cure all their ills, and there is no such thing. There are methods, techniques, structuring that you can become involved with if you know and understand the law that can protect your assets for your children, for their children, for your great-great-grandchildren, for what the founding fathers would have called our posterity. Those who are yet unborn, but will, as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow morning, be here at some time in the future. They are our heirs. Those who do not plan properly do not pass down anything to their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren. And those who think they've planned properly, according to the way the powers that be wish you to plan it, end up losing at least 50% of what they intended to pass down in estate taxes, inheritance taxes, fees for people to take care of all of that stuff, lawyers. And if it's contested by anyone, oh yes, it gets eaten up very quickly going through the courts. And most of the assets disappear into the deep pockets of those liars that we call lawyers, those leeches upon society. There are steps that you can take now to protect your assets so that this does not happen, so that your death is nothing more than the sadness in the hearts of those who loved you and an obituary in the local paper. And that's as it should be. If you led a good life and you contributed to the welfare of the community or of the nation, then you will be remembered for as long as there is a record of your contribution. And we don't need to ask any more than that. So, you want to prepare your assets, you want to prepare yourselves, and you want to prepare those whom you will be passing these things on to as beneficiaries in some manner to take on the responsibilities that will be necessary. And you have to learn how to do all of this. And if you don't do it, then you're just another dumb American who's forgotten the concept of family and really doesn't care about those who will come in the future, or maybe have already been born, except for the love that they give you. I have sat at tables across this country and listened to Americans bitch and complain about people who, operating as families, have purchased local businesses and built empires right under their nose. Some of them were immigrants from other countries who understand the concept of family. And I sit patiently and listen until eventually I lose that patience, which is not very difficult when you know what I know. I've been around as long as I've been around listening to all of this kind of crap. And then I have to say, what steps have you taken as a family to build a business or an estate to pass down to your heirs? Oh, well, we really haven't done anything like that. Our family's not too close. Then how dare you criticize families who do, no matter where they're from or how long they've been here? They understand the family concept, and if you don't, you're doomed to failure, your family. The reason that many of you are poor today is because your mothers and fathers, your grandfathers and grandmothers, and your great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers did not understand, appreciate, or care about the concept of family either. Did not protect the assets to hand them down. Or if they did, those to whom they were handed down in whatever method it was accomplished did not take the necessary measures to protect those assets and preserve them for future generations, and in fact, to make them grow. So, I'm going to begin teaching you some things tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to know to make these things happen, to be able to take care of your assets. But let me preface all of this with something that I think most of you are going to understand. If all you care about is yourself, turn off your radio right now and go do something else, because you're not going to be interested in hearing what I have to say. If you love your children, if you love your grandchildren, if you love your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren, even though they may not even be born yet, if you care about them and if you care about the future, if you care about your posterity, if you care about your family, if you care about your personal gene pool, then you should have pen and paper by your side and you should listen very carefully. Most people make the mistake of thinking the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. There's something out there that if you could just get to it, your lives would be better. And I'm telling you, that's just the biggest crock of crap. It's a method of rationalizing your failure in what you are doing now, or rationalizing your continuing to fail, rather than looking for a method to succeed. So you must stop that kind of thinking. There are plenty of rainbows, ladies and gentlemen, that there is absolutely nothing on the other side.
Somewhere over the rainbow, where we're
I'll tell you why you can't, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a fantasy. There's nothing on the other side of the rainbow. There's no pot of gold at the end. This is the trap, the great trap that socialists fall into. They hear this promise of Karl Marx that if they fall into line and promote world socialism, that someday they will find that paradise over the rainbow. They will find that pot of gold. They will be taken care of always. It will be the end of the sadness of the common man. And it's just not true. It is a beacon for failures. It is a place where those who are parasites, who do not wish to work, who do not want to perform the necessary study that would lead to an education, that if followed by a diligent, and I mean diligent, loyal program of work, either in your own behalf, at your own business, or for someone else, to at least a measure of prosperity, which is above that of those who cannot or will not do those things. All men and women have a brain. Most, and I mean most, men and women have the same capacity to use that brain. There are some people, because of a problem in the formation in the womb, or during the birth process, or because of disease afterward, or handicapped in some way. These people are the very small minority. And yes, someone must take care of them, or at least take care of them and guide them until they are able, and many of them become able, to go out and live on their own. And if they can do it, you can do it. Many of them found their own businesses, and if they can do it, you can do it. Most people never learn how to protect their assets. Now, what are assets? Before you can even begin to understand what it is that I'm talking about, you must understand what an asset is. Assets are things that you possess that have value. An asset can be your job, which, as long as you hold that job, will bring in X number of dollars every 2 weeks or every month or every 15 days or however you're paid, or every Friday in some instances, and some people are even paid every day. That's an asset. If you lose your job, you have lost an asset. Asset is savings. An asset is property that you own, or think that you own, or at least can sell to get something that you can convert into an asset. An asset is anything that has intrinsic value, or that can produce in some way intrinsic value, meaning money. Federal Reserve notes are not money. But that's for another night. In fact, we've covered that many nights already. Now, I know that most all of you are tired of increasing taxes and government regulations. We've reached the state where there are so many taxes and so many regulations that it has gone beyond tyranny. Many of you are earning much more money than you ever have in your life, but you get to keep less of it because of inflation and because of taxes. And I can remember a time, not too distant past, when only one of the adults in the family, one of the married couple, had to work and could, with their labor, support the family very well in the middle income bracket. Now, that's impossible. And usually the mother and the father must work. And as soon as the children are able, they've got to go to work too. If you own property, if you drive an automobile, you've got to be concerned about a potential lawsuit. If someone falls on your property and is injured seriously, and sometimes even not seriously, some people can fake a serious injury very well, you may lose everything that you have earned in your life up to that point because of legal action taken against you. You all know the potential of causing serious damage to property and injury to your fellow human beings when you drive a car. And how about creditor action? What if you were to lose your job? And all of a sudden, those to whom you owed money, came after your assets, your home, your automobile, which you need to get another job and go to work, the money that you have in investments or in savings accounts or in T-bills or whatever you have that money in. Have you ever seen someone you know financially, completely financially ruined by a divorce settlement? They were doing fine until all of a sudden, something went wrong in their personal relationship and there was a divorce. And you know who it is that always gets ruined, especially if there's children in the family. When it comes to that, fathers have no rights anymore in this politically correct society. It's as if women became pregnant and gave birth by themselves and fathers have nothing vested in the children, don't love their children, don't care about their children. The children have none of their father's genetic material in them, which is all a bunch of hogwash. Are you concerned about the loss of privacy and confidentiality in your personal and business affairs? Well, you should, because in this age, privacy is almost non-existent. Would you like to experience personal and financial freedom beyond your wildest dreams? If you would, I'm going to teach you how to do it beginning tonight. Would you like to see your assets grow without fear of lawsuits, creditors, ex-spouses, or a debt-ridden government stealing was rightfully yours? If your answer to all of these questions is yes, then pay very close attention, ladies and gentlemen. Every single day, our debt-ridden government is becoming increasingly intrusive into our personal and business affairs. Sophisticated computer databases are being set up to pry into every aspect of our lives, particularly our finances. And most of us, being naive and innocent, freely volunteer whatever kind of information is asked of us, and without even knowing it, help build those databases that in the future will be used against us. And why is this happening? Because the government is in a feeding frenzy. They need more and more and more to pay for the enormous debt they're piling up day by day by day by day. You see, this is a debt-based economy. A dollar cannot be put into circulation unless it is first borrowed by someone. Did you know that approximately 46 cents of every dollar that you earn is gobbled up by federal and state taxes? And most people hate to admit it, but would have to say that they work for 5 or 6 months every year just to pay their taxes before they can put a single penny in their pocket. Now, that's a conservative estimate, ladies and gentlemen, because there are many taxes that are hidden. You don't even know that you're paying them. For instance, when you buy a loaf of bread and you pay the sales tax on the bread, if, say, bread is taxed in your state, did you know that the wholesaler already paid taxes on the ingredients to make that bread? Those are hidden taxes. And if we can accept 46 cents of every dollar going to taxes, that leaves only 54 cents out of every dollar as spendable income for you and for your family. Now, is it any wonder why you are feeling more and more financial pressure? How in the world can we live under such a terrible burden? Decades of deceit and overspending, the need for billions of dollars to fund entitlement programs, and an ever, ever growing in size government, state and federal. Until we reach a point where most of the people in this country are working in some capacity, either directly for or in support of the federal government or state government. It's a joke to believe that you're being paid a salary, because 46% of your salary is being paid by you. Don't you understand that? We're being strangled, ladies and gentlemen. And people keep thinking they're getting something for free. Nothing is ever free. And the government does not have a penny that did not come from the people. And there is no end in sight. Government will not get smaller. It can only grow in size. It can only increase its thirst for power and its greed. As long as there are government employees and beneficiaries with a vested interest in their continuance, these programs will continue to expand and grow. We not only have a nation that is being taxed at the highest rate in history, but one where its citizens are willing to give up their Second Amendment rights as well as their constitutional rights, or I should say their God-given rights protected by the Constitution to freedom, privacy, work, independence, and self-reliance for more and more government control. Why? Because they really honestly believe that they're going to get taken care of. They're going to get free things from the government. Not understanding that the government cannot give out anything for free, it all must come from somewhere, and every penny comes from you and me and everyone working for the government and everyone receiving the entitlement programs. And if everyone overnight were to stop working and go on the dole, there would be nothing for anybody. But every day, an increasing populace believes that they're going to get something for nothing. More and more government control. Have you ever wondered that maybe taxation without representation might be cheaper? It's possible. You see, it wasn't always this way, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the United States of America that the founding fathers left to their posterity. When Columbus landed, we doubt the Arawaks appropriated a monthly wampum payment to subsidize his living expenses. And when our ancestors arrived at Plymouth Rock to face a cold and hostile environment, there was no one from social services there to greet them. And when millions of poor Germans, Jews, Irish, Italians, and Poles migrated to the United States, there were no entitlements, and none were expected. And even if they were available, 99% of all those people would not ever have gone down and made application for one penny because they were born into what is known as the work ethic. They were proud. They wanted to make their way. And people got along. They worked, ladies and gentlemen, because they had to work, they wanted to work, they were taught to work, they knew how to work, they weren't afraid to work, and they prospered. They prospered. That's why this was, until all of this socialism crept in, the greatest nation on the face of this earth, the place where people dreamed of living. The very first entitlement program to come along for all Americans was Social Security. And originally, it was set up as a self-funding old age pension, so that when people got old, they would have a source of income. It has never been a trust. There is no trust fund. If you don't believe me, all trust funds are listed in the law. Go and find it. It's not there. I can remember when my grandmother began paying into Social Security, she thought it was the greatest thing in the world because now she did not have to save or invest for her old age. What a terrible mistake. And me, being such a young boy at the time, didn't understand a word that she was saying. If I had, I would have advised her not to participate. Of course, the government couldn't resist borrowing, or actually, they never borrow, they just take it, because it's never paid back, ladies and gentlemen. Not one penny has ever been paid back from money that was taken, that was paid in. By people through their paycheck, the Social Security tax, and that's what it is. It's a tax. It goes into the general fund, and it's spent wherever it's needed. And the government has used that money over all these years, while at the same time providing increased benefits to the participants. The end result is the Social Security system is broke. It's been broke for a lot of years. They don't want you to know that, so they continue to borrow money so that they can send out those checks. And they keep talking about the trust fund. There is no trust fund. Never has been. A typical retiree on Social Security will receive his or her entire lifetime Social Security contributions, inflation adjusted, in less than 2 years of retirement. Bet you didn't know that. In addition, the average retired couple will receive $100,000 or more in Medicare coverage than they paid in Medicare taxes. So it really doesn't make any difference if there's a Social Security trust fund or not. 2 years after you retire, you've used up everything that you paid in. And so where does the balance come from? It comes from everybody who's working at that time. But nobody is told these things. Essentially, the Social Security system is funded through the use of a pyramid or a Ponzi scheme. Now, a Ponzi scheme, ladies and gentlemen, is a scheme that spends money from new participants to pay benefits already spent and owed to the previous participants. Have you ever heard a better definition of Social Security? And if that weren't enough, The government has done the same thing with the federal employee pension funds. They do not have the money put aside that must be paid to future retirees. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, the unfunded entitlement programs such as Social Security and government pensions are not trust funds. They are pay-as-you-go pyramid schemes. And if the government were a private firm, it would be required to have the pension money in the bank. You see, it's illegal to run a Ponzi scheme. It's a felony. If a private firm, you or me, or any corporation or business that we controlled were to behave like the government, we would be charged with fraud. We would be brought before a court. We would be tried. We would most likely be convicted, and we would be sent straight to prison. In addition to uncontrolled spending and entitlement programs, the government is also growing exponentially through sheer incompetence and bad management, not to mention the billions of tax dollars that will be needed to finance the war on drugs and the war on crime, and billions of dollars worth of bombs dropped on places like Yugoslavia. I'm going to read you an article from Reader's Digest that was published in September of 1994. Listen closely. Ever wonder why middle-class families find it harder to make ends meet? Taxes are the reason. Today, the average family of four pays over 20% of its income in federal taxes and Social Security. Since 1948, the percentage it pays in federal income tax alone has nearly tripled. The eroding value of the tax exemption for dependents is one of the tax code's anti-family bias. In 1948, the exemption shielded 69.2% of the median income for a family of four from tax liability. By 1992, it protected only 20.6%. In 1992, a family of four could exempt only $9,200 from its taxable income. But if the dependent exemption had been worth as much in 1992 as it was in 1948, that same family would have been able to exempt $30,873 from their income. In 1948, the typical home had only a single wage earner. Today, in the majority of households, both husband and wife must work to maintain a comparable standard of living. Now imagine, if there were a legal, effective means to reduce your tax liability by even 10, 15, or 20%, it would be like receiving a comparable pay raise. You would realize an increase in your after-tax income for the same time and effort you are applying now. That's the end of the article. But what Reader's Digest did not write about is the fact that most Americans who are citizens of and reside within the territorial boundaries of any state, who do not work for government, are not required to file and pay income tax. There is no law that's ever been passed by Congress requiring any of those people to file and pay an income tax. It's a scam. On top of that, it has been proven, and proven beyond any shadow of any doubt, that the 16th Amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America, which the Internal Revenue Service bases its authority to tax the income of Americans living within the states, was never ratified. It's not an amendment at all. It's a lie. Remember Judge Learned Hand? He said, and I quote, "Anyone may arrange his affairs so that his taxes shall be as low as possible." Now listen to me very carefully. Here's what he said, and it's been ruled by the courts many, many times. This is a fact. "Anyone may arrange his affairs so that his taxes shall be as low as possible. There's not even a patriotic duty to increase one's taxes," end quote. So it's lawful and legal to avoid taxes by arranging your affairs so that they Do not fall in to the scam known as the income tax. Over and over again, the courts have said that there's nothing sinister in so arranging one's affairs so as to keep taxes as low as possible, and anyone can do it. That's what I'm going to teach you. The IRS's handbook for special agents says, quote, "Agents, our tax system is based on self-assessment and voluntary compliance. The material contained in this handbook is confidential in character. It must not, under any circumstances, be made available to persons outside the service." Wow. I wonder why. Folks, when government takes responsibility for people, then people no longer take responsibility for themselves. George Pataki said that. He was once the governor of New York. So, we must change what they now call the paradigm. Because to change the paradigm, we must come up with new ideas. New ideas produce new results. A paradigm is simply the way we, as a society, look at things around us. It is the sum total of our beliefs about the way things are. Remember in my book, I warned you that there must be a paradigm shift in the way that we think in order to survive what's coming. A paradigm is the sum total of our beliefs about the way things are. Unfortunately, things are not always what they seem. And now, in what is truly the age of deception, very little is really what it seems. Our view of reality is often distorted by false information. Dr. Robert Anthony, a well-known psychologist and author, calls this the carbonized crap theory. It goes like this. From the moment we are born, there's a bag of crap waiting to be put into our brain. As we hear ideas, crap is poured into our head and stuffed in there by authority figures. These are the people who have a vested interest in making sure we believe what they tell us. We hear it from our parents. We hear it from our teachers. We hear it in church. We hear it from big business, political groups, self-interest groups, and of course, the government. And that's why my favorite word, ladies and gentlemen, you all know what it is, so everybody repeat after me. Bullshit. That's what's in that bag of crap. And somewhere along the line in our lives, that bag of crap is transferred into our cranium, where unless we take great pains to remove it and replace it with what's known as truth, it stays there. And we are ripe and, in fact, develop a great hunger for more and more bullshit. They're all taking turns packing all this bullshit into our head. And eventually, not too late in life, the crap they've been packing into our head becomes so thick it's impenetrable. And anything that is real or true doesn't get through. It can't. It can't get out and it can't get in because the crap becomes carbonized like a diamond, the hardest substance known. And this forms what is known as a set of paradigms. Once we decide to consciously change a paradigm, we start to get little cracks in the carbonized crap in our brain. We start understanding what is important, what is real. And if we keep at it, eventually we can penetrate through all the crap. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to be willing to challenge our beliefs. We must challenge authority figures and those who want to control our lives if we want to ever know the truth and live our lives according to that truth. The paradigm of the 90s is government knows best. Let the government run it or fix it because you don't know anything. You're irresponsible. If it's left up to you to take care of your life, you're going to screw everything up. That's the socialist paradigm. Did you ever notice that as soon as the government touches anything, it immediately starts costing more? And so the question must be asked, do we want to continue on this path, or do we want to take back our right to make our own decisions when it comes to how we are going to spend our hard-earned dollars? You see, it's time that we change the paradigm concerning the way we look and feel about the role of government. Our new paradigm should be one of personal responsibility, privacy, and freedom. And freedom requires the willingness to die for it, because if you are not willing to die for freedom, you cannot ever have it. You will not ever have it. It will be a joke in your life. The dictionary, ladies and gentlemen, defines freedom as exemption from arbitrary control, independence, the power of self-determination. And this includes freedom from excessive taxation and government intrusion into your financial affairs. In short, you must learn to legally protect your assets from the government bureaucrats who want to take your money and redistribute it to those whom they feel deserve it. Have you ever taken a look at those whom they feel deserve it? And so because of this, you and your money and all your assets are in a terrible, terrible danger. Our debt-ridden government is not the only one who wants to share in the fruits of your labor. If you accumulate wealth, you are a prime target for lawsuits from employees, ex-spouses, customers, competitors, creditors, relatives, and anyone else who feels they're entitled to your assets. And if that's not enough, a sudden turn of bad luck in health, business, or personal finances could push you into bankruptcy. Just a little accident. You and your family could lose everything you have ever earned in your whole lifetime. Why? Simply because you did not set up a financial asset protection strategy in advance. Now, if you think this is all a bunch of crap, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Why do you think it was that the family of Mary Jo Kopechne did not sue Ted Kennedy? Let me ask you that again. Why in the world do you think the family of Mary Jo Kopechne did not sue Ted Kennedy? Now, some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. Ted Kennedy is a senator from the state of Massachusetts. A United States senator. He attended a party once late at night where this young woman, Mary Jo Kopechne, was also in attendance. When he left, he was drunk. Drunk. And Mary Jo Kopechne asked him for a ride. He drove the car off a bridge in the middle of the night. He got out of the car, she was still in the car, and drowned, died. He made no attempt to try to help her or rescue her. He made no attempt to flag down a car on the highway to get help, to get her out of the car that sank beneath the water. Instead, he thumbed a ride, went back home, changed his clothes, called all his lawyers and the important people in his family, and did not even notify authorities that Mary Jo Kopechne had gone under the water in that car for over 12 hours. Now, if you think that they could not have won a lawsuit against him for many, many, many millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, then you're not playing with a full deck of cards. But why didn't they sue him? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. The very rich and powerful learned these techniques many years ago. And just like me, Ted Kennedy owns absolutely nothing. They couldn't even sue the owner of the car, because the car was in a trust in which the car was the only asset held by the trust. Ted Kennedy had no money, earned no money, had no savings accounts, no property. He was bulletproof. Mary Jo Kopechne's family could not sue him because it would have been pointless. It is absolutely futile to sue someone who has nothing to get. And in fact, no lawyer would even take the case, simply because even if they won in court, they could not even get paid. Because there's nothing to get from the person who loses the suit. So Ted Kennedy and his entire family set up financial asset protection strategies in advance. And because of that, he suffered no loss. Unfortunately, most individuals and families have no financial protection whatsoever because, one, they are ignorant. They do not realize they need financial protection. Number two, they are optimists. They believe that they will never need financial protection. And number three, they are procrastinators. And most of you listening fit into that category. You know you need financial protection, but you're just too damn lazy to do anything about it. Lawsuits, business failure, tax troubles, divorce, creditors, catastrophic illness, and more can wipe you out literally before the sun rises tomorrow morning, and it will happen to someone listening to this broadcast tonight. That's how bad the odds are. So you must protect yourself by setting up a financial self-defense plan that protects everything you own against any legal or financial threat under any circumstances. And I'm going to be teaching you that tonight and over the next, I don't know how many broadcasts, until I'm finished. I'm going to teach you what I know. And I'm going to begin with the admonition that unless you go and study the law, unless you look up and validate everything that I'm going to tell you, you will never know if I made a mistake or if I intentionally lied to you or intentionally deceived you. You will just never know it. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. And when it comes to your assets, if you don't do that, you're a fool. You cannot believe me or anyone else without validating what you are told. I'm also going to tell you that this is not legal advice because I am not a member of the legal profession, and according to the law, only the legal profession can give you legal advice. What I'm doing is telling you what I have personally learned, and you can benefit from it, or you can turn off your radio and not even listen to it. Or you can throw it in the trash can, but whatever you do, especially if you're going to use it, you must validate that it is true. You know, I've been known to make a mistake or two now and then. I have never intentionally deceived or lied to anyone. That you can take to the bank. So, with that said and done, we will proceed. You must protect yourself by setting up a financial self-defense plan that protects absolutely everything you own, earn, or may earn in the future against any legal or financial threat under any circumstances. If a lawsuit happy lawyer or unscrupulous tax collector wants your money, you need the strongest financial protection possible. In addition, you must more than simply shelter your assets from those who want them, you must also privatize your wealth so that no one knows how much you're worth or where it is or how it's been done. In other words, shut your mouth. Shut it. Shut your mouth right now and keep it shut. You don't even have a family member that you want to trust with any of this information. So shut up and keep your mouth shut. Open your ears wide and apply what you can verify so that you can help yourself. You see, privacy has become nearly impossible. The information age makes your finances an open book. So what is the answer, ladies and gentlemen? Offshore asset protection. Offshore asset protection. Now, if you want to take a shortcut, go right to our website, harvest-trust.org. Harvest-trust.org. Click on the link on the homepage that says Belize Trust Program. Belize Trust Program. You will be taken to a page where there is a personal letter from me that cuts to the quick. It does not get into detail like I'm going to do on this broadcast, but you can get a head start if you want one. It's up to you. The strategies that I'm about to teach you, ladies and gentlemen, the strategies that I am about to teach you will give you an impenetrable financial fortress against lawsuits, creditors, bankruptcy, tax collectors, divorce settlements, probate, catastrophic illness, and dozens of other situations that could ruin your finances and your life. If you listen to this, if you verify that it's true, if you apply it as I am going to teach it, you will be absolutely 100% bulletproof. Bulletproof. An offshore, pure, individual, common law, irrevocable, discretionary trust is what all sovereign citizens need. And don't even make the mistake of thinking that a trust formed within this country is any longer safe. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care how successful they've been up to this date. They may have had 100% success rate up to this date, but I am telling you right now, the government is going to break those trusts and take those assets and destroy those families. Because this government is the resurrection of Hitler's dream of a social world under socialism, under the total and complete control of informants who work for the government, who are ready and willing to squeal on you no matter what you're doing, whether it's legal or illegal, doesn't matter to them. And there's rewards everywhere you turn around. Now, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but I'm going to cover first and foremost what's known as an offshore trust. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this for years. I have both offshore asset protection and asset protection within this country. But ladies and gentlemen, I will not keep anything in the asset protection structure that is in this country anymore, because that's how bad it's getting. If you've been paying attention to the legislation being put before Congress, you know that no matter how you conduct your business or how safe you think it is, if it's in this country, they're going to get it. The offshore trust is your first line of defense. The best way to protect your assets is to never, ever keep your wealth in the country where you live. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as I have discussed already, Anything can happen, and usually does. This government is becoming increasingly despotic. The answer to this dilemma is an offshore trust. Combined with other trusts and with a business structure. But I'm going to describe the trust. An offshore trust enables you to change the title on your personal or business possessions, including stocks, bonds, real estate, bank accounts, coins, gold, vehicles, boats, etc., from yourself to the trust. You may use and enjoy the trust property during your lifetime, even though the property is in the trust name. Since assets are no longer in your name, there's no public record of personal ownership. And folks, that concludes tonight's broadcast. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. We're going to get very serious about your education on this broadcast. So pay close attention. Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you. Annie, Pooh, and Allison, I love you. I miss you with all my heart. May God keep and protect you.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And by then, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be in Martha Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I can tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before.
And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a number. My head all full of stuffing. My heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry. Life would be a king of dairy if I only had a brain.
Wonderful. Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the crows would be scared to pieces.
They would? Where's Kansas?
That's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
You're going to see a wizard?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if I went with you, this wizard would give me some brains?
I couldn't say.
Won't you take me with you?
Why, of course I will.
Hooray! We're off to see a wizard!
Oh, look, you're not starting out very well.
Oh, I'll try. Really, I will.
To all.
We want to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We hear he is the wizard of wind, if ever a wind there was. If ever a weather of wind there was, the wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager. 101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Cooper Family Children's Charitable Trust. And because of their benevolence, you get free radio. Best radio, as a matter of fact. Stay tuned now for All Oldies Most of the Time.
Oh, well, I'm sitting here la-la, waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, I'm sitting here